reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading for this fourth Sunday after the Epiphany is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, page 798 in your pew Bibles. And we read Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Now, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." But the Lord has said to me, "Do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." And the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's on page 1228 in your pew Bibles, and we read 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 31. "I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three, the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, page 1100 in your pew Bibles, And we read Luke 4, beginning at verse 31. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they came out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them, but he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. The text is based on your Old Testament reading for today. Now the Lord, word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." And I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth.' For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." This is our text. Are you comfortable in your own skin? That's expression. Usually describes someone who likes who they are. They know their strengths, they know their weaknesses, and they're content with that. They don't spend their lives trying to be like someone else. They know who they are, and that's who they're going to be. I hope you are comfortable in your own skin. But you know, a lot of people are not. And Jeremiah was one of those people. God, from the moment of his conception, created Jeremiah for his own plans and purposes. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. I don't know precisely how old Jeremiah was when God decided now's the time. But everything about Jeremiah had been made for a specific plan and purpose of God. And when God called upon him to do that for which God had made him, Jeremiah goes, "Oh no, 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 no. You got the wrong person. I'm too young." He sounded a little bit like Moses when God called him to lead the people of Israel. Moses offered up excuses upon excuses upon excuses. But as with Moses, so also with Jeremiah, God didn't accept the excuses. Because God knew who Jeremiah really was. When God calls upon us to do something, we can do it. Because God doesn't ask you to do something you can't do. And so along with God's command to get going, to speak whatever he would give to Jeremiah to speak, he adds this word of promise. "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Maybe Jeremiah didn't know what his skin was capable of. God did. Unfortunately, however, the reaction of Jeremiah to God is something that is commonplace in our world. And not only because of our own sinfulness, but because literally the world is training us not to look at what we are and what we are made to be, but always challenging us to be something we're not. It really goes back to the first temptation in the garden, doesn't it? God was perfectly taking care of Adam and Eve, created them for a specific plan and purpose, told it to them, and gave them everything they needed to carry out that plan and purpose as his servants. But they thought they could be something else. They thought they could be like God. But of course, we know how that turned out when they tried to be something they weren't. That's when sin and death comes into the world. And rather than rejoicing in what they were, they became ashamed of themselves. And if you will, their own skin. And yet, that problem of trying to be something you're not is so characteristic of life today. We see it as in the ways that we treat our own bodies. Always trying to make them into something maybe they're not. You see it in places like the workforce. There's a book my brother-in-law recommended to me a number of years ago. It's called Strengths-Based Leadership. It has to do with management styles in the workplace that work and management styles that don't work. One of the things the authors discovered as they were researching good managers, if you will, is that good managers look at the employees that they have and ask themselves this question, what are they good at? And then what they try to do is to move them into areas that they are good at, and the things that they're not good at, they try to pull them away from those kinds of areas. Sounds like a reasonable approach, doesn't it? That's what every manager should do. Only problem is, that's not what most managers do. Most managers spend their time, they discovered, trying to fix people's weaknesses. In other words, instead of spending their time trying to get them to use their strengths, they spend their time trying to turn them into something they are not. And it doesn't work. You know, even in our nation, there's kind of a mythology that you can grow up to become whatever you want to be. All you got to do is work hard enough, and you can be whatever you want. That's a lie. God doesn't want us to become something. He wants us to look at what we are and to rejoice in that, to celebrate that. And yet, even adults, when they're dealing with little children, kind of set them up to think that what you are isn't the main point. So you see some child you haven't seen for a while, you want to start a conversation with them, what do you say? Well, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's not about what you're going to become. It's about what you already are. God created us. He designed us. And instead of trying to be something you're not, God's goal for us is to restore us to what He originally made us to be. But we live in a world that's always striving to undo that. One of the best examples don't use the word best example. One of the worst examples I've seen of late of this world's insanity. Down in, I believe it is, Houston, Texas, a couple of months ago, a couple, probably same gender couple, shaves the head of their little girl and brings them to the preschool, 5 years old. Says this child wants to be a boy. Two Christian workers would not treat the child as a boy. They continued to acknowledge, if you will, her girlness, 5 years old. They were fired. That's the insanity of our world. And if you asked me 30 years ago if I'd be preaching and talking about something like that, I'd told you, you were insane. But that's what's going on in our world today, and it's going on with our children. They are being told in every avenue of life, including at school, preschool, daycare, you can be something else than what God made you to be. As if God makes junk. And He doesn't. God creates us just as we are. But not to just selfishly think about our own needs and our own plans and our purposes. He makes us according to His plans and His purposes and makes us all different and unique. His plan and will for our life is not that we become like somebody else, but that we be what we are and rejoice in that and celebrate that. And yeah, we fall and stumble and fail countless times each and every day in that. But he says to us, do not be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you. He sends his own son and Jesus into human flesh to pay for our sins, to die and to rise, that we may be confident of our future. Know that when God looks at us, he doesn't see ugliness. He doesn't see mistakes. He sees, as I love to remind you, a perfect child, just as you are, and bids you to look at who you are, how you've been made, instead of trying to be something you're not, to be that which you are. And it is in the pursuit of being what we are in Christ Jesus, and we will find our peace and our joy doing that which God designed us to do. God grant that throughout all your days in life, that you find yourselves comfortable in your own skin, because you're going to be living in it for all eternity. But know this also, that in our world there is absolute craziness and insanity, and that down to the little young ages of 4 and 5 year olds, the world, the people that are supposed to be teaching our children, are telling them, what you are, that's not that good. Why don't you be something else? We need to witness to them each and every day and remind them that it is God who formed us in the womb, and God who has consecrated each and every one of us for our own specific tasks in life. And that our peace and joy and service to him will not be found in being something we're not, but in looking to God and Holy Scriptures and being that which he has made us to be and redeemed us to be. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.